Turn to Psalm 139, and we will consider the first six verses as we think about God's omniscience this night as we prepare to pray. It's good to have everybody here on a Wednesday night. Psalm 139, to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Let's pray. Lord, as we meditate on these verses that describe your omniscience, your all-knowing, we pray that you would write your word upon our hearts. May we know you better, even as you know us. And may your praises come before you from our lips and from our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God knows. That was we went through the whole psalm last week. I wanted to stop and take it a little slower and look at each section. And this one is actually, as I studied it, I realized this is a really helpful one. Again, it's stuff that you already know, but it's good to just be reminded of how this even helps us in our prayers, that God knows. First, notice in verse, we're just going to go through each verse just for a few minutes. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. There's an exclamation point there. God knows us. This is a personal and active knowledge. God knows me. God doesn't just know the world and know the things he's created, the stars. We know he knows the stars by name, but he also knows me. That means he knows you. He knows each one of us personally. This is a personal and active knowledge. It's his knowledge of us is for his purposes, and he's going to expand on that here as we go. But this is a personal knowledge. God is not the God of the deist who just winds things up like a clock and then goes off on his own to let that clock tick. No, he knows us. And as Job learned, now this can be painful. See, I am going to refer to a few other parts of Scripture. Job 7, 17 to 19. In Job's painful moments, obviously his whole section of the book as we read it was painful, but in his spiritually painful moments, within his physical and emotional pain. What is man that you make so much of him and that you set your heart on him? Visit him every morning and test him every moment. How long will you not look away from me, nor leave me alone till I swallow my spit? At that moment, Job sort of wished God wasn't looking at him. In our moments of doubt or pain or sin, it can be painful. It's intrusive, God's knowledge of us, but it's ultimately good. It's ultimately something we need. It would be worse if the answer to Job had been, well, I'll stop looking at you. That's not what Job needed. So it's intrusive, this knowledge of God, but it's good. God knows me. He knows you. He knows us personally. But also, just in general, God is omniscient. Verses 2 and 3, you know when I sit down and I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Once again, don't turn there. I'm going to read you three other verses that fill in this for us, this type of knowledge. David, speaking to Solomon, said this in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the Lord, excuse me. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. He warned him, you know the Lord because he knows you. He knows your thoughts, your plans as king, as you are developing your plans of governance, of leading this people. You turn to the Lord because he knows your plans. He knows every thought. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Then in John 2:25, where we're told Jesus didn't entrust himself to man and woman, because Jesus, it says, he himself knew what was in man. He knows what's in us. He did not entrust himself. And that was in the context of some believing, but if you read it in its full context, you see by that, some sort of believe. The miracles made him believe for a while, but they didn't really believe. But Jesus knew what was in them. And so God's knowledge of us is thorough. He knows our outward daily activities as well as our inner thoughts. He's aware of our everyday acts and our lifestyle. And the sense here is that he sifts us that we might become those who he wants us to be. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows our unexpressed thoughts. And this is going to be a key application, I think, for this whole section. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And so therefore, we can pray our thoughts. We can pray silently within our own hearts and minds. Isn't that good news? Now, you already know that. But isn't that good to know? He's reminding us here that we can, when we're any moment of every moment of every day, we can pray right in our own hearts and minds, and God knows, God hears. Isn't that amazing? All of us right now, and even as we pray in a few moments, and as Ron regularly reminds us, everyone be praying through the list all together. God hears it all at the same time. He can hear it all from our own hearts and minds. That's who God is. That's the God that we pray to, the God we've prayed to and sung to this evening. This is why we can pray. One of the reasons why we can pray. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. In his knowledge of us, he's saying, you cup your hand over me. You, in your loving kindness and in your knowledge of me, you hem me in. Your hand is upon me, keeping me within the path of which you have chosen. And that is a wonderful news to know. God is cupping his hand over us, keeping us within his grasp, that we won't wander where we shouldn't be. This is for our protection and our comfort. Job hadn't at that point learned the protection and comfort God was giving him. But it's for our protection and our comfort. God does this. And so the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Now, I know some of you there, like myself, that makes you think of a particular place. What does he say again? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's telling us the very thing that David told us. I know more. My wisdom is infinite, and it's sufficient for you. And so in the context of Isaiah, he then goes on to describe how his word will go forth and accomplish what he would have it to accomplish. And then again, back to that personal thought as to how it has the psalm began. And then we're going to just look at the very last verse for a moment. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. This comes up again in John 10:27-30. this personal nature of this knowledge of us. John 10:27-30. It's great to see how the Bible fits together and sort of fills in the whole package and interprets one scripture, interprets another. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. We've just sung these very truths, haven't we? No one will snatch them out of my hand. There it is, that hand cupping us. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so, acknowledging that God knows our minds better than we do, He knows ourselves better than we do, at the end of the psalm, he then concludes where he began, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He really comes back to the beginning and applies this in his own prayer. Lord, you already know me, so know me as you do. Cleanse me. Make me like you want me to be. Keep me on the path. And then again, lead me to mansions eternal, which is again what we just sang about. And so we should, like the psalmist, pray. God knows. He's the one to whom we should pray tonight, and also he's the one to whom we should submit for both his correction, but also for his direction. God knows, and he knows me, and he knows you. So let's go to him in prayer.